RadioInfluence.com.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Friday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with...
Thank God it's all over, Frank, and Val, and...
Thank God is right. Beans! What was that all about?
Oh, I just can't wait for the extended weekend.
It is an extended... Are you doing a show on Monday?
No.
So are you doing a show with me on Monday?
Oh, I forgot about
Monday
morning.
Oh, gee.
Yeah, I'll squeak it in.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Yeah, but I'm taking the rest of the day off.
Fine.
For sure.
Fair enough. That's okay, because in October, it's going to be really bad.
What's going to be happening in October?
Well, I'm going to D.C. for the walkaway event in early October, the 2nd through the 4th, which is a Friday, but I have to get there probably Thursday. And then the week after that, I'm going to be in Miami the entire week. So I don't know what we're going to do with this show for a week.
What's Miami? Is that vacation or is it work?
No, work. Oh. It's the AmpFest thing.
Well, then why don't you do anything remote?
Well, because I'm working at AmpFest for them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I can recycle some of my nighttime formats and fix them up a little bit to fit this, and I can do little short shows.
Well, I mean, you'll have a baby.
Yeah, but I should be back. I should be back to work already at that point.
Oh, well, then yes, that would be fantastic.
Yeah. So.
Well, we'll get it together, whatever it is.
Indeed, but for now, this week's over.
Yes, it is, and it ended with a bang, so to speak. Vice News.
Oh yeah.
Interviewed the guy who killed... I keep on messing up his name because it was wrong and then it was correct.
The guy Jay from...
Yeah, but his name isn't actually Jay. His name is Aaron J. Danielson. So Jay Danielson, I guess they called him.
Mm-hmm.
He was shot in the chest and... by somebody that was identified because of the big black fist tattoo on his neck via social media. And yesterday, Vice interviewed, the guy's name was Donovan Farley, who interviewed him. He interviewed the killer, and the killer was like, you know, my lawyers are telling me not to say anything here, but I have to get the true story out.
Right, he had to do it. He had to do it.
Yeah. We were being attacked. And it was self-defense. The weirdest timing ever. I have a hard time with this, Frank. I'm really having a hard time with it.
I know. Well, last night when Rob and I were reading it, because it was insane how it popped up. I'm thinking to myself, how the hell did Vice get to this guy before the police did?
Mm-hmm.
And they have this big expose on him. I mean, he's talking about, I didn't want to do it, but I had to do it because I wasn't going to let him kill a brother of color of mine. And it's like, I'm thinking to myself, the video doesn't, this does not jive with the videos we've been able to watch and listen to. And then, of course, now he's dead.
He was killed by police yesterday. His name is Michael Reinol, it looks like, R-E-I-N-O-E-H-L. He was shot and killed by police. And, of course, now Andy Ngo, who I would, you know what? The... interesting thing is that Andy has been dropping like private messages. Like, he dropped a private message that a reporter sent to somebody in Antifa that he thinks is an Antifa. And I'm like, I don't want to out it, but he's got moles inside Antifa. Because how else did he get that private message?
I don't know, but it would, that would be a, that would be a, I don't know, that'd be logical if he did.
Yeah, and he's like, now he's dropping like little things in their private messages. They're talking about X and Y and this and that, and they're making him out to be some like martyr. And Reinhold, who there are a lot of people underneath this tweet thread that are saying that the video of him being killed and tried to, you know, people are trying to resuscitate him, like paramedics. He had a semi-automatic rifle when he was killed. And some people are saying that it's very strange because nobody seems to react at all when this happens. Like, no one seems to react to him getting shot. Nobody seems to react to the gunshots at all in the video. It's very weird.
I don't know. I was looking at this guy. I was wondering how long before he was found just dead. The fact that he died at the hands of law enforcement after a armed confrontation, it adds a little bit more of a adds a little bit different layer to it. But I'm thinking to myself, because I've seen the numerous breakdowns on how the hunting expedition that this guy was on with several other people in Portland last week when they killed Jay Danielson. That's his name, right?
Yeah.
The hunting expedition that they were on, it was very coordinated. The whole thing was very coordinated, even though maybe the picking of the target was a little bit more random. But they had like a team together. And I'm saying to myself, okay, well, he's here with Vice. This guy's going to be dead pretty soon. But the way he died was not the way I thought it would happen, or why, or what would I think would have been obvious about it all. And what I thought was, well, he's obviously a loose cannon. He has a history of estrangement with his family. He's out of his mind, and he has really no ties to anybody. He's a loose cannon, and now he's talking to the press, and he's doing his own PR. If he was part of some kind of an operation, he's going to out the whole damn thing.
Right.
So I'm thinking he's not going to be around for much longer anyway. So for it to happen at the hands of police makes it a little more complicated, but I'm still not off of that.
It's really weird. I'm watching the video right now. He's laying on the ground. They did CPR on him.
Yeah, I saw that.
I don't know. I just don't know. There's just something off about this whole thing. I don't know what it is. I don't know.
Agreed.
But in other news yesterday, after that justice was doled out, we had the most interesting thing happen ever. So I don't know if you heard about this woman. Her name was, hold on, I'll find it real quick. Because I wasn't going to go to this, but it just makes sense to go to this now. Jessica Krug. Have you heard of this?
Well, no, the name's not ringing a bell. What happened?
So Jessica Krug was a George Washington University professor who came out yesterday. She was like an activist. She got all of what she got, apparently. She said she was an African-American / Puerto Rican, whatever.
Another Rachel Dolezal.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Yeah, keep going.
And she got all of these perks and everything that she got in the community she pretended to be a part of because of her color or perceived color or whatever she said her color was. And she came out of the closet yesterday, so to speak. She says, "The truth and the anti-black violence of my lies." And she said, "For the better part of my adult life, every move I've made, every relationship I formed has been rooted in the napalm toxic soil of lies. Not just any lies. To an escalating degree over my adult life, I have eschewed my lived experience as a white Jewish child in suburban Kansas City under various assumed identities within a blackness I had no right to claim. First, North African blackness, then U.S.-rooted blackness, then Caribbean-rooted Bronx blackness. I've not only claimed these identities as my own when I had absolutely no right to do so, when doing so is the very epitome of violence, of thievery and appropriation, of the myriad of ways in which non-black people continue to use and abuse black identities and cultures." It goes on and on and on about what she's done and how, you know, she doesn't want sympathy or apologies or...
You know, it's great. She goes on and on about how she has to admit something that she's done. And it's just the epitome of all this black this and black that. And
I know what you're going to say.
It's you. It's not us. Who's appropriating what? You. You know, I love how people can just they reach into their lives and all their insecurities and all the grimy shit they've done, and then they extrapolate it out just like, but it's not, I'm just a small piece of the greater puzzle. No, you are the puzzle. Leave everybody alone. You psychotic person. You need to be locked away in a mental institution.
It's not only that, Frank, but I said, in a country where everybody thinks that black people are maligned and hated and unadvantaged and she used all of the benefits that are bestowed upon black people just because of the color of their skin to become wildly successful.
Of course. I mean, we have a United States senator from Massachusetts who did the same.
It's, yes.
Same exact thing. So, you know, it's when you have people go, I can't believe it. All the people who are trying to fudge their there's nobody lying to the college admission system about being white to get some kind of cash in on some kind of privilege.
Yes.
There's nobody lying about being white. OK, let's just put it that way. Where the hell has privilege been created? Come on here.
It's very weird. It's very weird. Like, you know, how people can continue to say all of those things about how underprivileged and how little privilege black people have when there are white people pretending to be black to obtain the privilege. Wow. So I was looking at this hashtag. This woman is white. I mean, white as the pale-driven snow. I don't understand. Like, I guess because people are so afraid to talk to black people because of what could be perceived as racism. Nobody said, dude, you're white.
Are you sure you're not white?
I mean, yeah, you know what I mean? Like,
go up to a light-skinned black person and ask them if they're sure that they're not white. Yeah, that's why people like this psycho gets along so easily. All you gotta do is commit to the act.
It's super weird. This whole thing is just, I mean, it's a Dole's All Time 75.
I mean, is there any more big of a sign of appropriation or claiming black issues for your own than the fact that 95% of Black Lives Matter is white commies?
I seriously, shouldn't they be upset about this?
Yeah. Look at this guy. Look at this creep that just rightfully got shot dead by the police. Talking about, he was trying to justify a murder he committed by saying the guy had a gun and if I didn't do it, he was going to kill one of my black friends. So he hid behind the idea of a black friend in danger from an unarmed white guy. he hid behind murder.
I know. How many casualties in this war so far?
Man, it's really something else.
So there's that. And then now we've got, you know, we've got this gunman in DC who was shot dead the other day. And everybody came out saying the cops killed yet another, black man. This guy was charging at him with a gun. There's video of it. They released the video. And so everybody went to Mayor Bowser's house. And I'm sorry, every time I hear her name, it sounds like Mario Brothers to me. Every time.
Yeah, Bowser.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking the same thing there, too, because I saw that video. He comes out of nowhere. Pops out of nowhere running wildly at the cop with a gun in his hand. And one shot. Cop takes him down in one shot and then starts looking around for the gun. And it's clear as day. And now they dug up another death, police-related death up in Rochester, New York from March. This guy's in the middle of the street, naked, in the middle of a snowstorm in March. Because he's high on PCP. He's high on like angel dust or something. They put a spit hood over his head because it's right around the time that the pandemic stuff is really reaching a fever pitch. And this is unbelievable. Everyone that it seems like everyone that we are is thrust into the spotlight in order to keep the rage machine going, just feed another log to the fire. Everyone is either violently resisting arrest, fighting with the police. They're either belligerently drunk, they're high on PCP, they're overdosing on fentanyl, they're armed with guns or knives, they're evading outstanding arrest warrants. It just doesn't even matter, because of course you get headlines for a couple of days and it's distilled down to black man versus the police. And then it remains that way until the details comes out, and then we pivot to another story.
Yeah,
I know, because all that matters is building a pattern.
So I actually want to talk about something else right now, too, that happened yesterday. So there was a Biden went over to Kenosha, because why not? You know, Trump just did it. Got to be just like Trump. So he went over to Kenosha and he had like a little town hall where people asked him questions, and somebody came up to the microphone with a piece of paper and said, I'm supposed to stay on script, but I'm not going to do that. I think you need to hear the truth. And then the clip got cut. And then all of a sudden we saw people posting the Biden campaign paid this person to speak, and then she decided not to read the script they gave her. I just want to say, guys, nobody could prove or explain why they knew that the Biden campaign paid her. They didn't. Nobody could explain what she said afterwards. And it turned out at the end of the day that apparently the organization, the activist organization she was with, gave her something to read. Now, I'm sure it had to be cleared by the campaign, because this man cannot handle questions. As a matter of fact, the other day he was taking questions and he said, okay, it's time to take questions now. I think my staff are going to pick out who, you know, the order in which you guys go. And I said, yeah, because they need to know what number answer he has to read. So they have to keep him in order.
Yeah.
He's got all his answers written down in front of him. He has to read them. If they pick reporter 3 when reporter 1 is supposed to be talking.
Absolutely. No, I was going through this incredible thread yesterday. I forget who the hell, Abigail Maroney or something like that. I forget who it was. Someone named Abigail put together an incredible thread, maybe of almost like a dozen short clips, all less than 15 seconds of Joe Biden over the last few weeks alone, screwing up friendly interviews that are obviously scripted, where he's, the other day we were talking about how he read the liner notes on the Venezuela thing.
Yeah.
He was reading the liner notes on the script. There's other short, stunning videos of him giving hand gestures to make the teleprompter go up. Him in the middle of conversations with people on live television, having little side comments, put it back up, take it down, get it away. He's giving people production orders to bring his lines back up. I'm asking myself, how the hell is this man going to be put into a situation where you have to improvise on national television with a debate with a guy who, even as a novice, beat up Hillary Clinton, who is a very cunning woman when it comes to debate. She's very polished in her debating. He beat Hillary Clinton twice in those debates. And Joe Biden can't even talk to a friend without a script.
And not only that, he does things like this. Listen.
There is not a single solitary reason in the world why, as I said, we shouldn't be in a position that everybody, and that's my wife, Jill. Hey, Jillie, I'm Jill's husband, actually.
The breathing, first of all.
Well, he's behind his little mask.
Yeah.
But I mean, what the who does that but a child or somebody with horrible dementia? Oh, here's my wife. Oh, there he is.
Yeah, it sounds like a conversation you'd have with somebody in a nursing home. And I've spent hundreds of hours in nursing homes with elderly family and friends who are on the outs. Mm-hmm. I know what that conversation sounds like, how random it is.
This is really criminal. I mean, I can't believe they're doing this. I really can't. I don't know what's going on anymore. I mean, what is their plan?
Other than what Axios told you.
Yeah, I know. Other than that. You think that they're testing it. They're testing the reaction to it.
I don't know. I just don't know how you can go much farther with that. I mean, testing the reaction, they know it's not going to do well. So are they trying to figure out Is it time to announce that he has coronavirus, he has to leave, mm-hmm. or what is it? Because everybody's waiting for how they propose he must leave. We've been waiting for this for a long time. It doesn't matter how legitimate the reason is. Nobody's going to believe it now. Nobody's going to believe it. I mean, Democrats will be slightly relieved because I don't care what you say. You give us a little bit more safe distance away from this election. And even the most dyed-in-the-wool liberal will say, no, Joe was crazy, but we were desperate. You know, you give them enough time and even they're going to admit this was horseshit.
Well, I'm looking at all of these polls, Frank, that 538 releases.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the polls that even the pollsters they rate as a C have Biden up 9 and 10 points all over the country.
Well, you have to. This is the whole thing. And this is why I went off on the media last night because the Atlantic article with Donald Trump and the World War One veterans.
Oh gosh, this is just ridiculous. I mean,
this is what I'm talking about. If this is the media again, you say that well, he's up 9 and 10 points, whether he is or isn't. I don't believe he is. I don't believe he is at all. I don't see any nothing. But what's going on here is that they need to at least say that. Is as long as the picture is painted that he's leading in some universe, that he's leading in a parallel universe, he is leading Donald Trump, then there's at least that visual that you can pair up with the election night narrative that they're already been building. You need those two things to go together. So that's what they're doing.
Now we've got an article that comes out. More than 175 current and former law enforcement officials endorse Joe Biden. Slam Trump as lawless president.
Right.
This list includes former U.S. attorneys, former state attorneys general, former sheriffs, and former police officers.
Well, I guess that's it. He's done.
Yeah, because the 2,000 former U.S. attorneys.
Yeah. Gosh. I know.
It's
listen, anytime you hear 100 or so former law enforcement officer, blah, 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 just think of the police chiefs in places like Portland. Think of the police chiefs in the places like Portland. Think of Reno 911. That's what we're talking about here.
That show. Exactly.
Talk about that's what we're talking. We're talking about Reno 911 here. So don't get it twisted. In a country of 330 million.
You know, it's interesting because we had that Atlantic story, like you said, that came out. And it's pretty telling. Here's why. Brian Cates thinks that something's going to drop with McCain.
John McCain?
Yes. Okay. That he was involved in a little bit more when it comes to this spying operation than...
You mean a little bit more than just dropping off the dossier to the FBI?
Yes.
Okay.
And so what did President Trump say about the military or about John McCain when he was alive? Do you remember?
What did he say?
Yeah, let me see.
I don't know. I don't know. There's a lot of things he said, so I don't know which one in particular.
I'm going to find it. It was.
I saw his response to the Atlantic article outside of on the rainy runway last night. So I saw that.
Yeah, he had back in the day, he said he'd never been a big fan of him. And he said that he was if he gets people get caught. They're not any good at what they're doing. Like, they shouldn't be getting caught and held prisoner. You know what I mean? Like, it was a long time ago. I don't remember exactly what he said. But basically, what's alleged in this article is the same thing.
Hmm.
In a different tone. But they're saying in this article that he again, insulted McCain. And you know what? It's three anonymous sources familiar with the matter. And we've got this coming out yesterday from Devin Nunes about Spygate. We're going to listen to this clip. It's
Let's take it back.
I'm just going to bring him in here.
Saying, quote, that Adam Schiff will be viewing Trump-Russia documents. Again, this is in March 2017. That Adam Schiff's request that he is requesting the FBI's in-person assistance in verifying the authenticity of the documents and their technical assistance in order to help Adam Schiff read these Trump-Russia documents. Let's talk about it with Congressman and author of Countdown to Socialism. Look who's here. Congressman Devin Nunes is back. Congressman, we'd love having you on for this story. Your reaction to these emails.
Well, I would just say it's not surprising, but also just disappointing. I mean, this is something that we figured was going on. We figured that the FBI was were working with the Democrats to cover up their own malfeasance. So I think it's pretty telling that instead of looking at what I had unearthed with my team, that where we had found that there was hundreds of unmaskings that had occurred and that this was a major problem, instead, these were the counterintelligence people, right? So you would have thought, wait a second, why were all these unmaskings occurring? Why was this leaking out to the press, many of these things that had been leaking out to the press? The chairman, myself at the time, had actually went publicly and told all the media about this. So the very people, the counterintelligence team at the FBI, they had no interest in the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee telling the American people that, hey, leaks of classified information were getting out there. And I just want to remind your viewers, that's what the counterintelligence division at the FBI was supposed to be doing. My guess is they all knew about this. They were covering it up. And my guess is this is only the beginning of the spying. I'm sure they were investigating me and all of my team because they were trying to cover the path that they were on.
So what he's talking about is emails that were released that show collaboration between Adam Schiff and the FBI on stories and trying to get in front of things in March of 2017.
Mm.
And this is around the time when Cramer was freaking out about everything that he was doing. And, you know, Cramer worked with McCain. He was very close with McCain. And now that we've got all the Christopher Steele information coming out of this court hearing overseas, you start putting two and two together. And it's like, okay, Cramer is you know, he refused. He was upset about leaks. He was worried about leaks. He's having to testify in defamation lawsuits. He was the one who got this dossier to McCain in the first place. All this stuff is coming out. And now all of a sudden, they're trying to canonize McCain again in the press. Do you see where I'm going with it?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, once again, I guess everybody must be very confident that the election is going to swing a certain way, because for us to still be eking out little revelations like this 4 years in, they're obviously don't feel like they're pressed for time. It's interesting stuff. Can't wait to see where it goes, for sure.
Shem pointed something interesting out. He looked at the Bolton book and was able to put two and two together to figure out that it was John Kelly that was likely the source for the Atlantic story.
I saw the two pages in the Bolton book. I had it ready for my show tonight about how they even confirmed there. It was a cancellation because of the weather.
Yep.
And it came from the top down. It was nothing that could have been done. And the president didn't like it.
Shem says it's going to be awful hard for General Kelly to come out and confirm the anonymous false story he may have planted in the Atlantic when John Bolton's book says he was the one who made the call on canceling the trip because of the weather and security concerns.
Mm-hmm. That'd be interesting.
Leakers everywhere trying to take this guy down. I don't know. Like, how it seems too frantic for me. It seems like they're just throwing darts and seeing what sticks, which means they don't have a strategy, Frank.
No, they don't have a strategy, but it is eerily or it's very similar to the past frantic movements that they've made in the past. I mean, we're coming closer to an election. We're getting closer and closer. They're obviously stringing together every race-based story they can to keep that fire burning. At the same time, they have Joe Biden frantically going on out there making a fool out of himself to try to dampen the fire that has been that they have stoked on themselves for standing with lawlessness and encouraging the movement in the streets, thinking that that was going to be some kind of a rallying cry for people and that they really were a party of revolutionaries. But when the revolution shows up and starts burning down your businesses, even though you had nothing to do with it and you actually vote for Democrats, it starts moving the meter in the other direction. So on top of all that, I see this as a, well, here's another play to drive a wedge between Trump and his biggest constituency, the most loyal constituency, and that's the military. So and they've done it before in cycles. They will try to put out a Donald Trump disparaging the military kind of a story. And it may be a couple of things. It may be getting out ahead of one thing. It also may just be we have nothing left and let's try to make sure that we drive a small wedge between his loyalties that he's built up with the military. It could be just as shallow as that, although it's a really, really sloppy play.
I just don't see how this works. Like, I really don't. Like, what do they think is going to happen? Everybody knows that President Trump loves the military. It's all he ever talks about, for God's sakes. It's all he ever talks about.
They needed to get him on the economy, and they needed to get him on the military, because rebuilding the military and the economy is two of his biggest undeniable things.
I'm looking at a clip right now about this story, the Atlantic story that we're talking about. And it's a CNN clip. We're going to play it in a second. It's the editor-in-chief, Jeffrey Goldberg from The Atlantic, who is not – you don't print a story like this. You just don't. You just don't. You can't – I would never. I don't care what they told me. I would never. It's just journalistic malpractice to do what he's doing here. But besides that, on the side of this screen on their Chiron, they have coronavirus pandemic globally. Total cases, 26,337,473 with 869,331 deaths. In the United States, total cases, 6,151,000. And then deaths, 186,806.
Yeah. You know what they got to do? They have to get to, by November, they have to get to 250,000 deaths that they can present to the country, because remember, 250,000 deaths wasn't that a major benchmark that was predicted?
Well, if they keep tallying every single death that happens in America as a coronavirus death, they'll get there rapidly.
Exactly. Well, that's the whole thing. I mean, the accountants are working overtime to move the numbers around, because 250,000 deaths was one of those things that was initially touted, right?
Yes. And you've got family members now, by the way, who are looking at the death reports or the the death certificates of their family, seeing coronavirus on there and throwing a fit because they didn't have it. It's happening. But here's the CNN clip. This is the Atlantic's editor-in-chief, Jeffrey Goldberg, talking about why he used unnamed sources.
Of a commander-in-chief stating the most disrespectful things you can imagine about fallen service members, amputees. The president, your story, did not want amputees in a military parade because people don't want to see them. I'm curious why these people didn't want to go on the record. We're 2 months from an election, and these are horrible insults to service members. Did they explain their thinking as to why they wouldn't put their names to these accounts?
Well, like you, when you're faced with the same situation, you always ask for people to go on the record.
Sure.
And then ultimately you have to make it when they don't want to go. And we've both experienced why people don't want to go. They don't want to be inundated with angry tweets and all the rest. And we push hard. And that's why you have to sort of do this reporting with even more belt and suspenders approach.
Belt and suspenders. Accounts. Because people don't want angry tweets at them. That's the reason. With a story like that, where they're impugning the character of the President of the United States and every military veteran in the country, they're too chicken shit to go on the record because they don't want people tweeting at them. Right.
Yeah. Wouldn't this be? See, this. But once again, hey, it's impeachment.
Yes.
It's impeachment.
Yes.
That's what it is. We have the whistleblowers. They're locked in a basement right now, but their lives are in danger. Their lives are in danger. We know what lives being in danger is. We know. Okay. This is ridiculous.
Did you see some of the Nancy Pelosi stuff that went on yesterday?
With the hair salon?
Yeah.
Calling it a setup?
Yeah.
Completely out of touch, wench.
I mean, and people are like, oh, she just got her hair done. What's the big deal?
She just got her hair done. What's the big deal? The idiot says through a mask that they've been mandated to wear everywhere in the country.
Not only that, but the business is shut down. The woman went out of business. She can't even feed her family. She's a single mother. And you know what I mean? Like and the guy who did her hair is not responsible or is not even paying rent for the chair he used. Viviana, ready?
Yeah.
Nancy Pelosi before they framed her.
They said, come to this salon, get your nail, not your nails, your hair done, and don't wear a mask, but, you know, tell the guy next to you to wear a mask. Come in, get your hair done in this closed shop that is not allowed to open. And then when you're caught and everybody's attacking you online, just say you were framed and everybody will believe it.
She gets it. She gets it.
Listen, no, everybody gets it. Everybody gets it. Just like everybody gets that Joe Biden's not a real person. The problem is that right now, there's too many people just doubling down and just plugging their ears. She's so out of touch.
She's attacking the salon owner now.
Yeah.
She had her daughter come out with an email, with a letter, basically threatening the woman. We have video from inside your salon. You were doing services a week ago. How'd you get the video, Nancy? How'd you get the video, huh? So, it's really gross. It really is. Just kind of makes me sick.
Indeed. That's what I said. Thank God the week is over.
It is. And I have a lot to do still. But, you know, I mean, I need to relax.
I'm with you on that one.
I really do. We also had Tucker with a fantastic show on that Nancy Pelosi stuff, talking about the hypocrisy of it all. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you want to listen to a couple of those clips, but they were pretty good.
Yeah, sure. Whatever you want.
Yeah, I mean,
he always seems to nutshell it very well.
Yeah, he does. He does, and he's honest, and he speaks the truth. Like he actually says what everybody else is thinking. And I'm looking for the link that I have here. He actually says what everybody else is thinking. And it's great because we need that kind of a thing. Because nobody else does it here.
Not on his network, at least.
Not on his network. No. Not unless it's... what's it called? Hannity. He does it sometimes. You know what? Before we do that, let's talk about Bill Barr and his interview with Wolf Blitzer. Did you hear that one?
I did.
What'd you think about that one?
Well, aside from wanting to jump through the screen to grab Wolf Blitzer by the throat a couple of times, I think he was very rightfully incensed in some points. That's the most passionate I've seen Bill Barr speak in a while.
Yeah.
About the ridiculousness of what's being forced onto Americans so quickly. It's such a major proposed overhaul of the way that we conduct elections in such a short amount of time. Yeah.
By Jimmy Go ahead. And James Baker.
Come on.
I can't vote twice.
Well, I don't know what the
Wolf Blitzer is an idiot. Let me just start off by saying that.
When the particular state says, and when that vote becomes final.
Is there any state that says you can vote twice?
Well, there's some, you know, maybe that you can change your vote up to a particular term. I don't know what the law
That's
is. So I'm not going to offer.
He was saying test the system.
Well, what he's saying, why are you asking me what he's saying?
He doesn't believe in the mail-in voting, but you're the Attorney General of the United States.
Why does you? Yeah.
You know, Barr is like, yeah, I know.
Yeah, I remember that. I am the attorney general, yeah.
He said,
And you show me, like, literally zero respect anyway. So, here we go.
Well, the other thing is, too, is you bring people on to a show like this, and it's not even that they have questions and they get the answers and they allow the American people at home to assess whether those answers make questions. If you are a person like Bill Barr or anybody and you go on to a network, like any network, I guess, it has devolved to the point where, all right, I'm going on a news network, time to debate the host. Like the host is there to toe a party line. It's the least informative thing. You're just there to see who wins the fight. It's ridiculous.
Especially when the host is an operative.
Oh yeah, a champagne swilling Clinton celebrator. Remember
like,
that?
Yes, I do. But not only that, but he knows that he is, like, he's not the stupid, and he's acting like an idiot. We'll hear.
Expand mail-in voting. This is the president.
This is, you know,
it's reckless.
Well, this is a, you know, sort of cheap talk to get around the fundamental problem, which is the bipartisan commission chaired by Jimmy Carter and James Baker said back in 2009 that mail-in voting is fraught with the risk of fraud and coercion.
But since then,
and until this
administration,
they haven't
improved it.
He has to yell over.
And since that time, there have been in the newspapers, in networks, academic studies saying it is open to fraud and coercion. The only time the narrative changed is after this administration came in. But elections that have been held with mail have found substantial fraud and coercion. For example, we indicted someone in Texas, 1,700 ballots collected from people who could vote. He made them out and voted for the person he wanted to. Okay?
Because
that kind of thing happens with mail-in ballots, and everyone knows
that. But there are individual cases. But as far as widespread fraud, we haven't seen that since.
We haven't had the kind of widespread use of mail-in ballots that's being proposed. We've had absentee ballots from people who request them from a specific address. Now what we're talking about is mailing them to everyone on the voter list when everyone knows those voter lists are inaccurate. People who should get them.
So listen, that part right there is so overlooked. He just literally said he knows our voting system is a complete sham and the lists are just complete crap.
Yeah.
Like, he admitted it, like right there, but it gets better.
Don't get them, which is what has been one of the major complaints in states that have tried this in municipal elections. And people who get them are not the right people. They're people who have replaced the previous
occupant. Or dogs and
cats.
They
can make them out. And sometimes multiple ballots come to the same address with several generations of occupants. Do you think that's a way to run a vote?
Well, the only thing I'm saying is that so far we haven't seen widespread fraud. But
we haven't tried it.
Well,
and the point is,
a lot of us, there are several states that only have mail-in voting, including a Republican state.
Well, this
like
is
Utah.
Playing with fire. This is playing with fire. We're a very closely divided country here. And if people have to have confidence in the results of the election and the legitimacy of the government, and people trying to change the rules to this methodology, which as a matter of logic is very open to fraud and coercion, is reckless and dangerous. And the people are playing with fire.
Well, I will point out there are five states.
You are such a bastard. You're such a gray bastard. Oh.
I mean, he's right. It's logically flawed. I mean, you can, like, any person with a thinking brain, Mr. and Mrs., you know, election integrity and Democrats over there.
I'd like to point out. And really, what are you doing? What are you saying? A state like Washington or something like that, they've been able to do it decently at this point after 10 years of working out whatever kinks that they've got going on. And it's who even knows how real that is? It's just Wolf Blitzer saying it.
I know. And even one vote that is tallied incorrectly is a malpractice.
Absolutely. One. Well, listen, what did you and I just read on the air here not too long ago from the New York Post? With the guy that was creating fraud in New Jersey for years.
Yeah.
And most of it, the most effective form of voting fraud was all through the mail. How you have to disperse the votes a little bit. How you have to mark the envelopes. How you open up the envelopes with steam. This is what's been going. And I'm sure he wasn't going to list New Jersey in one of those states that have done really well. I'm sure he wasn't going to list that. Unbelievable. Jeez.
There has just been dropped an ad by Brad Parscale about Nancy Pelosi, and I want to play it. I don't know what it is. I've never watched it yet, but it is just recently released right now. Before we do that, though, Peter Strzok is really having a hard time on Twitter for after being quiet for so long, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's been very quiet on Twitter. All of a sudden, he's blocking reporters. He's very feisty all of a sudden, very upset about things.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. His book is coming out, by the way.
Oh, that's going to be a blockbuster.
I'm so excited to read all the lies. So excited. Yeah, I'm just trying to. Here we go.
Devastating to businesses like hair salons.
A homeless man arrested for violating the mandatory mask order.
A hair salon owner who opened up her store has been jailed.
You must wear your mask.
Wear the mask.
This is a president who doesn't want to wear a mask.
No one is above the law.
Nancy Pelosi was seen not wearing a face mask at a San Francisco hair salon.
Day before, Pelosi was saying that those people who don't wear masks, who don't follow rules, are bad people.
Not wearing a mask and having haircuts indoors against the rules.
Be an example to the country and wear the mask.
Nancy Pelosi appears to have violated.
I'm a big believer in wearing the mask.
Next time.
By the way, it's like interspersed with all these scenes of her in the salon with no mask on. Really well done. Here we go.
Madam Speaker, why don't you see if someone will come to your house?
You must wear your mask.
Wear masks at all times.
Rules for thee, not for me.
And to blame others. Leaders take responsibility.
So I take responsibility for falling for a setup.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi claims she was set up.
So the Speaker of the House is blaming the salon after she didn't wear a mask indoors.
And now she's having lawyers get involved to like dox this, you know, poor salon owner who has been shut down for 6 months.
We haven't worked. We have no income. Since this happened, I have received nothing but hate, text messages, death threats. They're going to burn my hair salon down.
I think that they that this salon owes me an apology.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty much done there. So,
in the meantime, Nancy Pelosi is overseeing a legislative negotiation in which salons like the one that she went to would not get any money.
We have bills to pay.
So upsetting, and it's devastating.
Pelosi is being decimated for having a beauty parlor opened when all others are closed.
Financially, it's broke us.
The timestamp on the video says 3:08 p.m. Less than 3 hours later, she appeared on MSNBC with perfectly coiffed hair, lecturing everyone else.
Those people there, no mask. What a bad example that was.
I mean, you wouldn't want to go into your freezer with that kind of ice cream, not looking your best.
Wowie, that was good. And it's got like, they call her Nancy Antoinette.
Yeah, no, this is, you want to talk about the new royalty. You want to talk about, everybody wants to talk about emoluments clauses and all that. Ooh, oh my God. You want to talk about that when we literally have, we've been living under it for a long time, but hopefully people are just noticing it. These are titles of nobility. These are titles of nobility now.
You know, somebody said protesters have gathered in front of Nancy Pelosi's home and are stringing up curlers and blow dryers on a tree after a video surfaced of her getting her hair done. And then somebody said, I can't believe how much they Karen about this. And I said, he can't believe how peasants could think their representatives be held to the same standard and have the audacity to think that they as peasants should have the ability to earn a living. And he just threw Karen out there to try to sound with it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Which at this point is just so lame.
It's Karen.
I learned that if you say Karen, people will think that you're hip.
Exactly. So I
know all. I'm a memer. I'm a memer.
I put the GIF of Austin Powers going, tucka, 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 tucka. When he says, I'm hip. I'm with it.
God. Just be comfortable with who you are. If you're old and lame, just be old and lame. It's okay.
I mean, there are some things you're good at, I'm sure, if you're old and lame.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we still need the insight you have. You know, what did Yogi Berra say? Don't imitate him if you can't copy him. Okay? So there you have it.
Well, they also found the Portland Antifa camp. Did you see that?
Oh, yes. Yes, it looks like a camp of Union soldiers in the Civil War.
It really does, and they've got porta potties. And guess who's paying for it all?
Who?
The city.
What?
Yep.
The city.
The city.
I thought you were going to tell me open societies or something.
Nope. And they're shooting at the guy filming them. Dana Lash tweeted it last night, said it's like a live-action Borderlands.
Man, oh, man. Yeah, no, I saw that. I saw a trumpet man walking around. So it's Antifa because trumpet man is in there. And
you want to – here, I've got a little clip here.
Right there, violent. That's the same violence that they show every single night. You guys do that every night, right? I knew it. Yep. This is where they house the rioters. This is where the rioters are housed. Yep. And they all look over there. Look at that look. That's a look of violence. Every single night. Oh, there's Trumpet Man. There's Trumpet Man right there. I knew it. This is where they house every single rioter. Okay, it's official. Housed by the city. No, I'm coming down, brother. You don't got to throw nothing at me. Hey, look at that. Man's about to shoot me with a slingshot. He's such a dumbass. Couldn't even hit a fucking thing right in front of him. Continue on.
This guy has guts.
Yeah, who is that? Is that Owen Schroyer?
No.
Sounds like him a little bit.
There's a full video on YouTube of it. It's not Owen Schroyer. I don't know who it is. It's this guy on this YouTube channel, Never Alone with Christ. It's at Star Park Festival Lots by the Hawthorne Bridge Junction. Wow.
And that's just one encampment?
Yeah, and two buses come by, he says, and picks them up every night. He's been scoping it out. So if he can do it, why can't others? Why can't the feds figure this out, hmm?
I don't know.
I'm done. I'm done.
Yeah.
All these politicians all of a sudden, we need to figure out who's paying these guys. You think? I don't even know how they're going to find a clip from this completely disorganized show today to showcase.
Yeah, there's plenty of stuff that they can latch on to.
I think we should put on there the Wolf Blitzer impersonations personally.
Oh, hate him. Oh, it's not even like hating an individual person either, because he's just like an extension of Jake Tapper, who's an extension of Brian Stelter, I don't know. It's just like they're all
operatives. They're not journalists. They're literally political operatives, or even worse. Well,
what I said last night when I was talking about this Atlantic thing, I put out a short 3-tweet thread.
Brilliant. On,
you saw it?
Yeah, I retweeted it.
Well, I didn't know that. Well, either way, the last thing I said on there was that I pointed out once again the Civil War. You know, in the 1860s, you had Abraham Lincoln shut down 300 plus newspapers, arrested thousands of journalists, arrested judges, priests. Okay, and that was just for dissent, and differing opinion over his invasion of the South. Okay. And now what the media gets away with now in comparison is just an absolute obscenity. I think last night I called them an irredeemable den of seditionists, spies, and saboteurs.
And you couldn't explain it even any better. Who's paying these people? How are they funneling this money? I mean, really, it is really what we're going through right now is an insurrection in this country. And it is really crazy. I sit and I look around and I'm like, oh my gosh, thank goodness we're on the right side. That's all. Thank goodness we're on the right side. Could you imagine having to live with yourself being one of these people?
I don't know. In some respects, I think they really, really enjoy being them. They get to they think that they can, or they've been at least brought up for years believing that they speak with some sort of authority. They have a great production budget behind them. They get a pretty nice paycheck. They have great suits. They get invited to very hoity-toity get-togethers. I mean, this is they are at the top or toward the top of a pecking order of elites that are so disconnected from real life. I'm telling you, these are the attendees of The Party in the Desert and The Mask of the Red Death by Edgar Allan Poe. These are the people who thought that they could run to their desert sanctuary while the Red Death, the plague, spread and ran all throughout the countryside killing people, and that they would be fine to have their little party in their little desert sanctuary and nothing would show up and harm them until, of course, the clock strikes 12.
I never read that one, so what happened?
Oh, you never read this?
No.
Oh, and they even did, they redid it with Vincent Price, too. So pretty much they're in this desert sanctuary here. And the Red Death is making its way across the land. But they're rich, they're powerful, and they are going to be able to save themselves while everybody else suffers on the outside of their very tall walls. And there is this party, this masquerade ball that's going on, and it has seven rooms, all different colors, and they pretty much are supposed to, all different colors, with the last room being the red room. Okay, and in the red room there's this very creepy grandfather clock, and of course the seven rooms is supposed to be symbolic of the seven deadly sins and all that, and everybody's having a debaucherous time, and they're having a great evening while everybody on the outside is suffering. And then all of a sudden there's a mysterious visitor that arrives at the ball, and people are drawn to him. Who the hell is this? They show up, they've got this mask on. Some tellings of the story is that it's a skeleton mask. Other tellings of the story is that it's the mask of that looks to be dead skin, looking like a plague victim. And they start languidly waltzing through all the seven the rooms, and everybody's very, very upset. They start getting very mad at the presence of this person that could bring any kind of inclination of the horror that they're trying to separate them from into their little domain. And then finally, he gets into the red room, and the clock strikes 12, and that's when he removes the mask, and he is just death, and he takes them all.
They had no security?
No security. They're in a desert, and they had walls. It doesn't matter. You can't stop death.
Death, I guess you're right. Yeah, I that's a crazy story. I have one recommendation, though.
What?
Do not read this to Aurora until she's at least 8 or 9, maybe older.
Okay, maybe we'll see. we'll see what the situation calls for.
You're such a good storyteller. I'm sitting here like, oh, what next?
What happens next?
You guys, you've been listening to the Friday, the crazy, messed up Friday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with...
Thank God it's over, Val. And...
Beans. You can hear us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and RadioInfluence.com. Until Monday...
Later.
This is a As You Were podcast quick fix on Radio Influence.
I don't know I was talking to a few people about this, that I don't know if kids now are just socially awkward, or I look like a weirdo or scary, because I would just go up to someone and be like, excuse me, hey, do you know where this building is? They like freak out. I'm like, it's not like I came out like the dude from Mr. Deeds. Like, I'm very, very sneaky. Like, you know what I mean? I came out the corner, but I'm like, hey, do you know where this is? Because it says on the on my schedule where the location is. I'm like, okay, that building. All right.
Hold on. So you want to tell everybody where you're going to school?
Oh, University of Tampa.
UT, bro.
UT, like, yeah, I know. Like, fully covered.
Bro, good shit. Thank I'm you, proud of you, man.
I'm surprised I got in, because when I first started college, when I graduated, C's got degrees. So I didn't know if that was going to transfer over. But it's set on the schedule where the class is, right? And I'm like, okay, that's cool. I don't know where it is. You know what I mean? I try to type on Google and everything like that. So I would just go up to rent. Hey, do you know where this is? And people are just scared. Granted, they're probably young and they don't know either.
Yeah.
But just say, hey, I'm lost too, because but like, I see the dude with like the really big nerdy backpack. I'm like, oh, I'm going to follow him because he looks like he's moving with a purpose right now. He got like the little Naruto run and stuff like that. So
you're that 31-year-old freshman,
30,
right?
Bitch. I'm 30, 31 in a few months. But I sit right in front of class. It's weird. Classes that
wait,
I got.
Hold on, because you've already got a master's, don't you?
No.
Bachelor's.
I'm going from, they said it's a post-bachelor, because it's my second bachelor, but okay. I'm not considered a freshman because I already have a bachelor.
Okay.
I'm going for a human performance, so like exercise science and things of that nature, you know. And it works perfectly because all of my teacher, the classes I'm taking is like nutrition, you know, sports and performance. And everything they're talking about, I'm like, shit, they're about to help me out for the next weight cut I have and everything like that. So
nice.
But it's very interesting because a lot of the classes that I took when I was, you know, younging, like 19, 20, 21 years old, I did not care. I just wanted to party and have fun. Now I'm in class, I'm like, oh, wow, like the mitochondria, like I'm actually paying attention.
The As You Were podcast can be found on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, TuneIn Radio, and RadioInfluence.com.